Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chul and Daf Tzadi Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Vavan Beis right after the Mishnah at Amar Shmuel. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Ali Lishmas's mother, Golda Simcha Shalom, the Neshama Shavna Liya, and we thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to talk about today again a lot of the basic sugyas of Tarovas, things that one needs to know if one is ever going to study Yerideya, ever going to learn the topics for Smicha. First thing we're going to talk about is the difference between Bishul versus Tzli, as far as it impacts on the transference of Tam throughout the entire area. Then the Gemara is going to challenge the notion that Chelev spread more easily than other items, because the Gemara is going to suggest such a notion that when you have chelev, when you have fatty stuff, it goes more easily. It's mifapeya. It spreads out more easily, even under circumstances where more lean foods would not spread. So the Gemara is going to challenge that notion, and we're going to have three answers to that challenge. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of relying on somebody else to taste something in order to determine whether there is tam of the Isser in the Tarovas. The Gemara is going to discuss when we taste something, when we get a taster to taste something, and when we rely on Shishim. All three circumstances, all three possibilities exist in different circumstances. And then we're going to discuss on Amud Beis a little bit about Kavisha and Melicha, and then we're going to talk about how to assess Shishim in a pot full of food. Does the pot itself count? Does the sauce count? What counts toward the Shishim? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to get into the sugya of kechal, which is the udder of an animal, which is a unique halachic quagmire, because it's meat that has milk in it. So how do we treat that in terms of kashrus, in terms of basar mechala? So that's all on tap for today. So let's begin at the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, on Tzadi Vavan Beis. So says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenis bashalba. The Mishnah mentioned that if you have a thigh of an animal that's cooked with the Giranasha in it, and the Giranasha, the time of the Giranasha spreads to the entire area of meat, so then it's all usher. But that's only if it was cooked with it. Then we assume that the tam spreads throughout the entire piece of meat. Aval nitzlaba, but if it was only roasted and it wasn't cooked, so it was a dry heat, you could just keep peeling away the meat and eating the meat until you get to the gid. And when you get to the gid, don't eat that, because when it comes to roasting without any sauce, with just dry heat, the isser is not nispashet. The isser does not spread throughout the entire chaticha. The Rishonim raised the question: what exactly is the chiddush of Shmuel? The Mishnah said b'mafurash yarech shenis bashel ba giranasha. So isn't it obvious that it's only if it's nisbashel? So you might tell me, well, come on, the word bishel sometimes is a generic term that includes transforming a piece of food with the use of heat, and it could include tzli as well. But he says, no, it cannot include tzli as well, because before you are mevashel anything, you have to do what's called melicha. You need to salt the meat in order to remove any of the dam. And we know, we're going to learn later today, that melicha is a din like tzli. So the Tana should not have given us a case of yarek shenis bashel begiranasha, because even without the bishel, if you just did melicha, if bishel was just a generic term and it means bishel and tzli and everything else, so even before the bishel, when you do the melicha, it already became aser. So from the fact that it says yarek shenis bashel ba, sounds like it means dafka bishel, not tzli, because if it meant tzli, it would have been at an earlier stage when it was already nimlach. So Meila Shmuel is not teaching me anything, and anything that I couldn't have figured out on my own from the Mishnah. So Tosos and the Ramban and other Rishonim answer that Shmuel is being mechadesh, that we don't say that that we shouldn't say that when he says when the Tana says nisbashel, it means nitzla, and he calls tzli a bishel, like we find by Korban Pesach. The Navi describes in Divrei Hayamim vayivashlu haPesach be'ish kamishpat. So and obviously over there it doesn't mean bishel, because it's Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be tzli eish. So Shmuel is telling us that it means dafka bishel, not tzli, because tzli has another a din. Maybe we could have figured all that out, but Shmuel is just formalizing that it's very, very clear in this Mishnah that it has to be Bishul, and it's not Tzli. The Ramban also writes that even if you're going to say that we don't call Bishul Tzli, nevertheless, had Shmuel not said it, I would have assumed that the Tana means to include all types of heat, Bishul and Tzli and Malicha and Kavisha as well, even Nani things, all types of transference of Tam. So that's why Shmuel wants to tell me that Dafka Bishul and not other things. Other things have a different din. Okay, so Shmuel tells me this din, that when the Mishnah says that if you have a Gila Nasha that's still in the thigh and you cook it, that the entire piece is going to be Aser, that's only if you cook it with a liquid medium. But if you roast it dry, then it's not going to transfer the Tam at all. So says Gemara, Eini, is that really so? Vahama Rav Huna, but didn't Rav Huna tell us that Gedisha Tzla'o B'chelbo, that if you have a Gila Nasha that you roast with the chalev that's in it, that asalachal afilu mirosh hazno, then you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat from that animal, even from the tip of the ears of the animal, because apparently even when you roast it, the iser spreads throughout the entire animal. So why is Shmuel allowing it? Why is Shmuel assuming that the iser does not spread? The Ritva explains that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Shmuel, so it's not mistaber that it's just a machlok. I mean, the simple answer is, what are you hakami? Shmuel says one thing, Rav Huna says another thing, and they're allowed to argue with one another. So the Ritva points out it's highly unlikely that they're arguing with one another, considering that Rav Huna is a Talmud of Shmuel. So how is it that Shmuel says that when you roast the Gid Anasha, the Tam does not spread, and yet Rav Huna says that a Gdish Shatzlo B'chelbo, the Tam does spread throughout the entire animal? So answers the Gemara, very simple. Rav Huna added a word, and that is Chelbo. Shaini Chelev Dimifapeya. Chelev is different than Gid Anasha, because Chelev is very, very fatty, and even when you roast it, it's going to spread throughout the entire meat, as opposed to a gid that doesn't have fattiness to it, and therefore it's only going to spread al yedei bishul, but not al yedei tzli. The Tosfos points out, even though the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Davayin Hay says that if you roast a Korban Pesach and a little bit of the juice goes on the cheres, on the pottery that's beneath it, and then it that's around it, and then it bounces back onto the meat, you could just do a kedei netila of that makom, and we don't say that the rotav is nespashet in the entire basar, and then it asers the entire basar. He says, obviously, there's a difference between rotav and chelev. Chelev is fatty. Chelev, we say, is mifapeya. Rotav is just sauce. It's not necessarily fatty, and it's not mifapeya. Now, there is an important machlokas shown him over here, the Ra'ah and in the Bedek Abayis and the Shari Dura. These are fundamental Sfarim in Yaradeya. Shari Dura quotes from a group of Rishonim and the Ritva, right, there of Huna, who asks Chelev that's roasted with Basar, that's even in a case where there's Shishim Keneged the Chelev, because we say the Chelev is Mifapeya, but not necessarily evenly. When you cook something, so the Tam spreads evenly, but Chelev just spreads on its own, and it may go in this direction and that direction, it may stop here, it may cluster over there, and therefore, even if you have Shishim, you don't know that you're not going to catch a cluster of it somewhere, and therefore it's going to ask you, even if you have more than Shishim, connected to Chelev. Toso says that no, even by Chelev, that's Mifapeya, we measure by Shishim. If there's Shishim in the Heter, connected to Yisr, the Basar is going to be Mutter, both by Tzli and by Bishul, and that's the sheet of the Rov Rishonim. And Rov Rishonim includes the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Simon Kufhei as well. So that's a fundamental machloka. So we say Chelev is Mifapeya, doesn't mean, and therefore it's the same as Bishul, or doesn't mean it could be even worse than Bishul, because if it's Mifapeya, it could be that it's not done evenly, and we paskin that it does spread evenly. The Ramban sounds like he's Mesupuk about that very issue, because originally he writes that the Isser to eat the Gedi is only in a case that there wasn't Shishim Keneged the Chelev, and then he says it could be that even if there is Shishim Keneged the Chelev, so he seems to go back and forth on that issue. Another issue that comes up over here is that Shmuel is talking about where you roasted the gid in the thigh. So Lechora, and Shmuel say, and the reason Shmuel says that it's not going to aser is because there's no chaylev to be mifapeya. Rishonim raised the question, every gid has shumana gid, and shumana gid is also aser midrabanan. So how come it's, why don't we assume that the shuman is fatty, obviously, and therefore it's mifapeya? Once it's aser midrabanan, it should aser like chaylev asers. So a few different answers. Tosfos quotes two different answers. Number one, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that by chaylev is very fatty. Shuman is not as fatty. Shuman agid is not so fatty, and it's not mifapeya. The other answer is, he quotes from the Ram, that shuman agid is aser on account of the gid. So in a case where the gid's not going to aser, then the shuman agid is not going to aser either. Okay, so now says the Gemara, wait, you just told me, Rav Huna, that chaylev is going to be mifapeya, and therefore it's going to aser. Obechaylev aser, is that true that chaylev is spreads and is nespashet and will aser everything? But didn't Rabbi Bar Chana tell us uvda havakamed Rabbi Yochanan? There was a maisa that happened in front of Rabbi Yochanan, but kenishta de ma'on, in the shul of ma'on, begedish atzla o bechalba, where they had a gedi that was roasted with the chaylev of the kidneys that are aser b'achila. V'asu v'shaylu al Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan whether the gedi is mutar b'achila or it's not, or it's aser b'achila because of the chaylev of the kidneys that was roasted with it and therefore affected it. V'amar, and what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Just peel away the meat, eat it, don't worry, till you get to the chaylev. When you get to the chaylev, then you shouldn't eat it. So apparently, when you have tzli, even if it's with chaylev, we do not assume it's mifapeya. We do not assume that it extends throughout everything. So how come you're allowed to eat it? Meaning, why is that so? Shouldn't Rav Huna say that, according to Rav Huna, we say that chaylev is mifapeya, chelaser everything. So how could the Gemara say it's davar pashut? That basa that's nitzla with the chaylev is going to be aser ba'achila. Could Rav Huna say that is davar pashut? So says the Gemara, three answers. Answer number one is hahu kachoshava. That chaylev was a very lean chaylev. It's not the kind of chaylev that's mifapeya throughout the meat. It's only if it's a very fatty type of chaylev that even with the tzli it's going to be nespashet. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, a second answer, that the story with Rabbi Yochanan was not a gedi that was roasted with its chaylev, but rather kulya bechel bahava. It was a kidney that was roasted with the chaylev that's on it. And the shaila was, can you eat the kidney if it was roasted with the chaylev that surrounds it? Visharya, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan was matir. Why does that help? Shouldn't the chaylev be mefapeya and the kidney as well? So it's a little bit of ikar chasam and a sefer over here. The point is that a kidney has a membrane that separates the chaylev from the kidney. And that membrane is not meat. It's a membrane. It's a barrier. So therefore, that stops the chaylev from being mifapeya. So normally, when you have chaylev together with meat, the chaylev spreads everywhere. But if there's something to stop it, so then there's something to stop it. That's why Rabbi Yochanan allowed eating those kidneys. It wasn't stam, a gedi, that chaylev with a gedi, and you can just eat the gedi. No, it's dafka, the kidneys with the fat on it. And then a third answer, Ravin bar Rav Ada Amar, that the mice in front of Rabbi Yochanan, that came to Rabbi Yochanan, was not a gedi that was nitzla im chalba. You got the whole story wrong. It was kilchis beilpas hava. It was small, non-kosher fish that you're not allowed to eat that were cooked in a pot with pieces of meat that were kosher. And the shaila was, are the pieces of meat still kosher, or is the fact that non-kosher fish were cooked with it, does that ruin this meat? So the whole story you got wrong. That was the case. But nothing to do with chaylev at all. It was just non-kosher fish and kosher meat. V'asu shailu al Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked the shaila to Rabbi Yochanan whether the meat is mutar or aser. V'amalu l'tamik fe'el arma. He says, well, it's all going to depend on whether there was tam that transferred from the non-kosher fish to the meat. So you need to get a non-Jewish chef who can detect tam and is trained to do so, to taste it and see if he can detect tam of dagim. And if he says that he doesn't taste any tam of any fish, so then you're good. And if he says he can detect the tam of the fish, then it's no good. Then you know that you have tam of the non-kosher fish in your meat. So that is that was the story, and therefore it's not at all a steer to Rabbi Yochanan, because it's not, it has nothing to do with the case Rav Huna spoke about. Rav Huna spoke about chaylev. Now the Chora, The Gemara makes sense according to Rashi, because Rashi understands that it's a dag tami, the way we explained it, that it's a non-kosher fish that was mixed with meat. Those are clearly two different things. It's min b'she'eino mino, they taste different, and therefore you would be able to detect taste of fish in meat. However, Rabbeinu Gershom holds that the case is, it was non-kosher fish mixed with kosher fish. So if that's the case, one has to wonder, well, how does ti'ima help? It's all fish, so it all seems to be that it tastes the same. So the Shach in Simul Kuv Zayin quotes some Rishonim, the Ozerua and the Ravan, that taroves of different types of fish is considered min b'she'eino mino. Not all fish taste the same. You know, just for people who don't like fish, to them, fish, all fish taste the same. But if you enjoy eating fish, salmon does not taste the same as tuna, it does not taste the same as other fish, which I don't know names of any other, but they all taste different, and that's considered to be a min b'she'eino mino. Rabbi Kiveger, however, disagrees. He says that the Beis Meir brought a raya that all fish is considered min b'mino from Rashi over here. He says, because Rashi over here says that the case is that it's fish mixed with meat. Why would you talk about a case of fish mixed with meat? Leaving aside the fact that you get into all, the whole sugi of sakana with the fish and meat, and why bother getting into that? Okay, the Gemara didn't seem too bothered about getting into that, because it often talks, it gives those examples. But it's so uncommon, meaning wouldn't it be more common to have a mixture of fish? You put the net in the ocean, you pick up a bunch of fish, turns out there's a non-kosher fish in it, and you threw it all into the pot. Right? That would be more common than fish mixed with meat. That seems to be extremely uncommon. Elamai, if it were fish and fish, the story wouldn't make sense, because it's all min b'mino. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger writes. Now you understand why Rabbeinu Gershom says otherwise. Rabbeinu Gershom will say that no, it's a case of fish and fish. That's the more common case. And fish are not necessarily min b'mino, because kosher fish and non-kosher fish might be min b'she'eino mino. But anyway, now that the Gemara mentioned that this story was totally misunderstood and that it was really just a case of kosher and non-kosher that were cooked together, and we needed a guy to taste it to be able to tell us what it is. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that possibility of having someone taste something for you. So Amar Rava Mireish Havakokashali. Rava said, I used to have a problem before I heard this psak of Rabbi Yochanan that you just reported to me. I had a problem with Hadatanya, the brisa that says Kedera Shabishal Babasar Lo Yivashal Bachalav, that if you have a fleishiga pot, you're not supposed to cook milk in the fleishiga pot, because there's blios of basar in the pot, and those blios are now going to affect the chalav. V'im bishal binos intan, and if you did cook chalav in a fleishiga pot, so then you have to assess whether there's tam that transfers from the pot to the chalav in order to know whether the chalav is kosher or not. If there's no tam basar in the chalav, you're fine. And if there is tam basar in the chalav, it's a problem. Likewise, truma lo yivashel ba'chulin. If you have a pot that had cooked truma in it, you're not supposed to cook chulin in it. V'im bishal, and if you cooked chulin in a pot that had truma, then benosin tam. Then if the chulin takes on the tam of the truma from the pot, it's going to be problematic. Otherwise, it's all going to be mutter, even for a non-kohen to eat it. So he says, it always bothered me. Bishlam truma, how are you going to detect tam? I understand when it comes to truma, ta'im la'kohen. Find someone who can eat truma and chulin, so there's no risk in having him taste it. And then a kohen is allowed to eat truma, just like he's allowed to eat chulin. And therefore, not only that, he has a mitzvah to eat truma. So you could let a kohen taste it, and it's going to be perfectly fine. He'll be able to tell you what it tastes like. So that would be no problem. But if you cooked milk in a fleishiga pot, who's going to taste it for you? Who's going to take that risk to taste it where it might be asr, where there might be tam basar in the chalav? Oh, but now, once Rabbi Yochanan told me that we have this concept that you could find a non-Jewish chef who you can trust to taste it for you, that must be the case of cooking milk in a fleishiga pot, that you could just rely on a kfeila arma'a, on a non-Jewish taste tester. Now, we had mentioned that Kedair Shabishal Basar Lo Yivashal Bachalav, the Ravan and the Ritva point out that even if you put a lot of chalav in a way that there's going to be shishim to be mevatel the time of the basar, you're still not allowed to do that. Meaning there's two dinim over here. There's don't do it, and then there's if you did it, right? So we said, don't cook milk in a fleishig pot. Okay? Second, if you did it, okay, now you have to see whether time transferred or not. Why the don't, though? Why can't you cook milchigs in a fleshig pot? So the Ravan and the Ritva say, even if you're cooking 60 times the amount of flesh, the milchigs is 60 times the amount of flesh, you're still not allowed to do it. Well, why not? If it's 60 times, why am I not allowed to do it? Because that's a violation of Ein Mevatlin, Isra L'Charchila, that there is such a thing called bittel, but you're not allowed to generate bittel. You're not allowed to be... And if you are mevatlin, this is chachil, it doesn't work. It doesn't, if you knowingly try to be mevatlin, this is chachil, the bittul doesn't even work. So there's a din, you're not allowed to do it. And if you do it on purpose, therefore it's not going to work. And then there's a din, you did it by accident, now what? Right? Those are the two dinim. That's the way these Rishonim understand. However, the Sefer HaYashar and the Bali Itter write that, no, the reason you're not allowed to cook milchig in fleshig pot is not because of ein mevatlin, this is chachil. That the ein mevatlin, this is chachil, is only where there's an Isser Be'en. Over here, there's no Isser Be'en, it's Blios in a pot. So there is no Isser to be Mevatel Blios L'Charchila. The reason you're not allowed to cook milk in a fleshig pot is because maybe it will be Nosin Tam and you're not gonna realize. Meaning maybe you're going to assess it incorrectly. Like you're going to think there must be, you know, the amount of milk I'm pouring into this pot, it must be Shishim Keneged the pot, and you're not going to realize just the basic... geometry of the situation that it can't be, that a pot can't really hold shishim times it's the thickness of its wall, so you're just going to make a mistake, you'll just misassess it. Now Rabbi Kivega writes a gevaldika chiddush, a very important chiddush in the dinim of Tarovus and Basar B'chalav in a tshuva in Madura Kama Simin Reish Zayin, where he says that we don't talk about bittul when it comes to Basar B'chalav. It really turns the whole sugya of Basar B'chalav on its head. He says there's no such thing as bittul when it comes to Basar B'chalav, that one is mevatel the other. By other isurim, we could talk about bittel. When there's chelev, when there's nevela, when there's trefa, you could talk about bittel. Because by other isurim, there's an isser and there's a heter. So the question is, does the heter overwhelm the isser, and is it mevatel the isser? Basar b'chalav, each one on its own, is totally mutter. It's just that the Torah doesn't allow the combination of the two. So you can't say that there's bittel of one or the other. When there's shishim k'nagad, there is definitely a din of shishim. Right? The classic example of shishim that every Rebbe you ever had, a little bit of milk falls into your chicken soup or chalent, whatever he was thinking of that day. But it's always basar b'chalav that they give the example of, because in our kitchens, it's very rarely anything else, right? Whenever anything comes up, when a problem comes up, it's always a basar b'chalav problem. We don't have an avela lying around our kitchens for the most part, right? So what's that din of shishim? So that's what they explain, the din of shishim, and the Rush writes this way, pretty mefurish, that the reason basar b'chalav is only asr bin sin istam is because the isr is derech bishul asr Torah. So derech bishul asr Torah means that the isr of basar b'chalav is in when there would be a transference of tam, because that's the way one would want to cook the two things together. But if you don't even have shishim, then it's not derech bishul, memel it's not included in the isr. So it's not about bittul of one thing or the other. It's just that it's not included in the isr at all when there's no tam that's transferred. Because if there's no tam that's transferred from one to the other, then it's simply not going to be considered to be to be derech bishul. So it certainly wouldn't be nogeya to talk about ein mevatlin isra l'chadchila when there's no bittel that's going on. So why then is it asr to cook milk in a pot that in a fleshika pot? So he says that's only if you don't know for sure if there's shishim connected to the basar, and the time of the is the reason for the isra is because you have to be choshish that the katera will give a meaningful tam into the food. But if you put such a large amount of chalav in a way that you know that there's shishim keneged the basar, says the Rush, that's mutter. You're allowed to do that. Even the chalchila, you're allowed to do that. Because ain't a chinami, there's a din of ein mevatlinus l'chalchila, but what's that got to do with basar b'chalav? There is no din of bittel when it comes to basar b'chalav. Also, parenthetically, we pointed out over here that when it came to the case of truma that got mixed with chulin, so Rava says, I have no problem with that. I never had a problem with that. Truma gets mixed with chulin. It's so easy to tell if there's tam. Just find a kohen, have him taste taste it, and let him tell you. So the Rashba points out, how come the Gemara doesn't say, find a Kohen who's a professional chef, and have him taste it, and let him tell you? It sounds like it could be any Kohen. So he says that apparently, you can rely on a Stam person, and Lechora, therefore, when it comes to a Goy as well, if you just get him to be Masiach Lefi Tumo, he doesn't need to have any professional expertise in this area. Just find someone who's willing to taste it. The reason Rabbi Yochanan had mentioned a kfeila means a professional, someone who has a very sensitive palate, is because Rabbi Yochanan allowed relying on him even in a case where he knew that you were relying on him for halacha. So to trust a guy on a matter of halacha, where the whole system of halacha means nothing to him, so that is hard to do unless there's some other reason for him to be honest. So if he knows it's his professional reputation at stake, so then he's going to be honest. But otherwise, if he knows that you're relying on him la halacha, so it's not going to mean anything to him, and therefore he may be dishonest, unless you get him to be Masiach Lefi Tumo. So says the Rashba, any regular non-Jew can taste the food for you as long as you can get him to be Masiach Lefi Tumo. But if he knows that you're relying on him, that's when you need a kfeila. And his raya is from the case of Chulin and Truma, where you can trust a Jew, so therefore he doesn't need to be a professional because he has inherent trustworthiness. Okay, says the Gemara Vaita now. The Rabbanan sometimes say that in order to know whether tarovis has become asr, so you need to taste it. You need to get you could taste it yourself. Vamar Rabbanan bekfela. Sometimes say you can't taste it, but you can get a non-Jew to taste it, a non-Jewish chef to taste it. Vamar Rabbanan b'shishim. And sometimes they say you need shishim, that you need to measure physically. You need to measure shishim. So when does each of those rules apply? Hilkach. So therefore, the way to parse it all out is as follows: min b'she'eno mino dehetera b'taima. When you have two unlike kinds of heter that a Jewish person is able to taste it, you have truma beans, and then you cooked chulin lentils in it, so they're both mutter for a kohen to eat. A zar is not allowed to eat the truma, so then you could have taima. You could have a kohen taste it and see if he can taste, if he can detect the taste of the truma in the chulin. Di isura, the second category is when it's min b'she'eno mino, but it's iser, so you can't have a Jew taste it because he can't take that risk. So b'kfeila, that's when you get a non-Jew involved and have him taste and see if he could detect it. Min b'mino, but if you have two like kinds that they taste exactly the same, so tasting is not going to help you. Deleka lemekem ataima, where there is no way to detect whether the tam of the iser went into the heter because the iser and the heter taste exactly the same. Inami min b'she'eino mino di isura, or it's two unlike kinds of iser, but deleka kfeila, where you can't find a non-Jewish professional who knows how to taste things for you. So then, what do we do in such situations? B'shishim. Then you look for shishim. So if a kazayis of iser falls into 60 kazayisim of heter, so then we assume the heter overwhelms the iser, and the iser is batal, and it's going to be mutter. And if there's not shishim kazayisim of the heter connected to the kazayis of iser, then the whole tarovis is going to be aser. So the Rishonim point out, the Tosos and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran say, we see from here that Rava Paskins like the Shita of the Rabbanan that we're going to have in the next parak, who holds that min b'mino is batal b'shishim, meaning there's a whole discussion in the Tanaim. When you have two like kinds that taste exactly the same, what does it take to be mevatal it? So the Rabbanan holds shishim, min b'mino is batal b'shishim. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino is never batal, that it's aser b'mashahu, because the whole idea of bitl is that one thing overwhelms the other, but if the two are exactly, they taste exactly the same, they don't overwhelm each other, they enhance each other. So you have a tiny bit of iser with a lot of heter, but they all taste the same. They only enhance one another, and there is no such din of bitl. So you see clearly over here that Rav is paskening that there would be shishim when it comes to min bimino, because that's the example that he gave where you're going to require shishim. However, Rashi on Kuf Tesla Manal says we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino is not batal. And he says it's muchach from Abaye and Rava in Maseches Avodah Zara that min b'mino zaser b'mashu, and that which Rava paskins in Pesachim Dav Lamed as well, it's muchach that way, because it says chametz b'pesach bein b'mino bein b'sheinu mino is b'mashu. But how could Rava say min b'mino that make him a time is b'shishim over here? After all, Rava paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosos writes in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim that from Rava over here it's not muchach that min b'mino is batal b'shishim, because over here we're talking about where it's it was new wine that got mixed in with grapes. So it's like fresh grape juice that gets mixed in with grapes, where they taste exactly the same. So Rava refers to that in our Gemara as min b'mino, and that's where he says you're going to need shishim. But that's not really how we define a tarovis. We don't define a tarovis by taste, meaning we don't define what's called mino and what's called eno mino by taste. We define a tarovis, what's called mino, what's called eno mino, by shame, by what its name is. At least Rava does. That's a major machlokas, but Rava defines it by shame. So grapes and grape juice have different names, and therefore halachically that would be considered min b'she'eno mino, and that's why Rava is willing to rely on shishim over here, because he would look at that tarovis, he would say that's min b'she'eno mino. He calls it min b- but if you have he calls it min b'mino over here, because in terms of the taste it's min b'mino. But that's why he's willing to rely on shishim in our case. So that's the basic breakdown of those three categories. Now, hanu atmahasa deimluchu be reish galusa begida nashia. There were thighs that were salted in the house of the reish galusa with the gida nashia still in it. So it wasn't roasted, it wasn't cooked, it was salted. We started the daf by talking about the difference between cooking and roasting in such a case. Ravina asa is all of them, because it absorbed the shuman agid. And Ravacha barav shari, he was matirit. So asa shenul mar baravashi, they asked mar baravashi whether the mutter or not. Amaluhu abba shari, he says, my father Ravashi was matir in such a case. Amalei Ravacha barav l'ravina, maidai teich. Why would you ask her b'achila? If it's because Damar Shmuel Maliach Hareu Kuroseach, that when you salt something, it's like you heated it, and Kavash Hareu Kemevushal, and when you soak something, it's as if you cooked it together. But Damar Shmuel Lo Shanvel Shenes Bashal Ba Avon Nisba Koli V'Ochal Shemegiel Git. But Shmuel himself is one that says that anything that's like roasting is not going to be a problem. Roasting the Gid Anasha in such a case is not a problem. So even if you want to say that Maliach is Kuroseach, Maliach just means like Kuroseach, that it's like you roasted it, and roasting is not a problem. No, maybe Maliach Kuroseach means that we treat Malicha not like Tzli, we treat Malicha like Bishel, and that's why it's gonna Aser over here, because the Mishnah said that if you're Mevashel a Gid Anasha in the Yarech, then it's gonna Aser. From the fact that we changed the language, we said Maliach is Kuroseach, Kavush is Kimavushal. Why not say both of them are Kimavushal? It must be because Maliach is not Kimavushal. Maliach is only Kitzli. And therefore, we're stuck with this question. How could it be that that you're gonna aser the thigh on account of Shmuel? Shmuel taught us that if it's only Tzli, then it's not gonna aser anything. So and Maliach has a din of Tzli. So Kasha. So says Gemara, that's Taka, a difficulty. Why in the world would Ravina aser to the thighs in this case? So we leave it as a kasha. Now, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kishen Misharin, when you measure a tavshil shel issa that falls into a tavshil shel heter, or a piece of issa falls into a tavshil shel heter, and you're trying to measure the shishim, misharin, you know what gets counted into the 60? Berotav, uvekifa, uvechatichos, uvekadera, all the heter that's involved, the sauce and the little pieces of meat that fall off of the main piece, and the actual pieces of meat and the pot itself, it's all mitzariv to the shishim. When you add it all up together, if collectively you have shishim keneged the yisr, then you're fine. Ikata amri b'kadera atzma. Some say when we say that the kadera gets counted, it means the actual dofnei ha-kadera, the actual volume of the walls of the pot. Vikata my debala kadera, not the actual walls of the pot, but only the blios in the kedera that the kedera has, blios of heter, so those blios of heter also get counted in the shishim when it comes to being mevatel an iser. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that when you cook a gira nasha with the thigh, and you cannot detect the time of the iser using a kfela, so you measure the gid as if it were meat and the thigh as if it were turnips, right? We gave that example, and therefore you see if that amount of meat would give tam in turnips, then it's going to aser. That's basar and lefes. That's the way we look at the gid and the thigh, as if it was basar and lefes. So the Gemara says that by shari surim, we use other vegetables as the example to try to figure out whether we have a nesinas tam or not. All other isurim in the Torah outside of gira nasha that get mixed with heter food in a way that there's no way for you to detect whether there's whether the tam of the isur can be detected in the heter. You don't have a guy to taste it for you. So what do? Misharinun kiluhein batzal the kaflot. You measure it as if it's an onion or a kaflot, which I'm not sure what a kaflot is, that are mixed in with the tafshil, and you see if that amount of the onion would give tam in the tafshil. So if it's clear that it would be no sin tam, then you know that the tam of the isur gave tam to the heter, and the whole thing is going to be asur ba'achila. So Rashi writes, wait a second, what happened to shishim over here? Also, we have to pretend things are onions and whatever. Just measure shishim. Isn't that the whole din over here that we're talking about isur and heter, that you measure shishim? So Rashi writes, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about before the psak halacha that called isur and shabbat Torah, that isur is inside of the heter, and you can't tell what it is that we're mishara b'shishim. And therefore he says another way, but lahalacha, you don't need to think about onions or kaflots or whatever, it's all shishim. We always go with shishim. Tosos disagrees, and he says from the fact that Rav Nachman says that when you mispashal gira nasha alone with basar, your mishara b'shishim sounds like the shir in the Mishnah of basar b'lefes is a shir shishim, because the Mishnah is also talking about a case where you were mispashal the gira alone with the surrounding meat around it. So the shear of the batzel that we have over here must be more than shishim, because shari surim give tam more than a gid does. Meaning, even though we may hold the Mishnah may hold yesh begidin menel sin tam, but clearly it's not the most flavorful thing, right? So other isurim are more no sin tam, and that's why we use different vegetables to assess it. That it's not actually going to be shishim; it's going to be something else. But pashas l'chora is like Rashi. We always measure with shishim, and this is some other measurement that's not shishim, and therefore we don't pask in this way. So Amalei Rabbi Abba Abaye, Rabbi Abba says Abaye, why were the chachamim koveya that we measure with these particular vegetables? V'lisharinu, once you want to go machmir, go all the way. L'sharinu b'pilpulin v'tavlin dafil belaflo b'talin. Why not use like the heaviest spices and say that we view the iser as if it's peppercorns? We view the iser as if it's some really serious spice, where even a very tiny amount of it is going to be able to impact all the food around it. Samalei said, "Shiracham deinosin tam isurim yosim basal v'kaflot." No, because there are no isurim that actually give the kind of flavor that a real spice would give. The most that you're going to have that an isur is going to be able to give flavor is like an onion gives flavor. You're not going to find it when it kind of like a real spice. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to the discussion of udders of an animal. We said before that all isurim shabbat Torah you need shishim. So do you need shishim? So first the Gemara is going to back into this discussion by talking about how do you measure the shishim. Does shishim mean 59-1 ratio, or does it mean a 60-1 ratio? So Amar Rav Nachman, gid b'shishim ve'ein gid min aminyan. When we say gid anasha is batal b'shishim, it means that the gid doesn't count as one of the 60. You need a 60-1 ratio. Kchal, the udder of an animal that gets mixed, that gets cooked with meat, so the kchal on its own is like any other piece of meat, so it's totally mutter, but you're not allowed to eat it midrabanan because there is milk that is that's inside of it, so therefore the chum mastered it, so it's b'shishim, but a kchal min aminyan. But the chum were makil that the kchal counts toward the minyan, so you only need 59 keneged the kchal, because the whole thing is only drabanan. On a daraisa level, it's just a regular piece of meat. Beitza, a non-kosher egg, egg that gets mixed in with kosher eggs and gets cooked together, b'shishim, they ain't beitza min a minyan. But the beitza is not min a minyan. You need a 60-to-1 ratio, not a 59-to-1 ratio. So says the Gemara, what about the udder itself? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Breizer Mishashia, ukhal atzmo, the udder itself, even after it gets mixed with 59 other pieces of meat, aser, is always going to be aser b'achila, because there's chalav that's inside of it that has tam of basar in it. So even though the basar of the chal doesn't have tam of the chalav, because the shear of the chalav is very little, because in the kedera you have shishim kenegdo, but enough of the kedera acheres oser, enough of the kedera acheres oser. So if that chal falls into another kedera, it's going to aser the entire taroves. So Rav Ashi, when we were by Rav Kana, we raised the following shayla. Ki misharinan b'didei misharinan, when we measure the shishim connected the kachal, do we measure the shishim connected all the basar of the kachal? Or do we measure connected the amount of milk that's trapped in the kachal? So pshita divide misharinan, we have to measure the actual size of the kachal. Because how are you going to measure, how are you going to know the amount of milk inside of the kachal? So ask Gemara Elamayata, if that's the case, that you do connected all the basar of the kachal, nafal the kedera acheres, if it falls into another kedera and it didn't have shishim connected, it asks the whole thing, but why? The chalav inside of it is already batal in all the chatichos of basa that it originally got mixed with. Lo yes, or it should not ask for the second taroves, even though there's not shishim in the second taroves, because it already became batal. So answers the Gemara, no, kima da amar av yitzah breder mishashio, chal atzma asr, shav yua rabbanan kachaticha dinevela. Since the rabbanan say that the basa of the chal itself, even after it gets mixed with 59 chatichos of basar, is still going to be asr b'achila, because the chalav in it, as soon as you start cooking it, will enter into the meat. So the rabbanan just treat chal like it's nevela, and therefore it's always going to asr. Even in a second taroves, it will go ahead and asr. Okay, but so tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots on the bottom of the page. Have a great day.